Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, 8:51 on the morning show. We welcome in John Tierney, author of Willpower, Rediscovering the Greatest Human Strength. He's also a contributing columnist to the science section of the New York Times. John, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Thank you.
Hey, John. Thanks for being
our company, Entercom, is very involved in the One Thing project. We have a One Thing project where they're big into recycling and things, and it made us think, our producer, Joy Burgoyne, who's always trying to kiss up to management, and us. Where do we stand as a country as far as recycling is concerned? Are we up? Are we down? Are we where we should be?
Well, we're kind of stuck and we're going down, which, you know, and this is something where I am in the distinct minority, which I think is a good thing. I think there's way too much recycling that happens. And I mean, I've been saying for about 20 years now that we just, you know, spend too much money recycling for very little benefit from it. And the money could be used for other things. And what's happened is, you know, I was saying this and I set a record for hate mail at the New York Times Magazine when I wrote an article in the 90s called Recycling is Garbage. But, you know, I revisited the topic several years ago and it's just gotten worse. You know, there are some things that are worth recycling, like aluminum cans. You know, you save a lot of energy by doing that.
Right.
But for most things, you know, it doesn't really pay to recycle. There's plenty of room to put this in landfills or to incinerate them.
Oh my God.
And the modern incinerators, you know, they have them in these very ecologically conscious. Anyway, we can argue about.
No. We do it.
Oh no, he's on your side.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah, no, he's on your side.
Okay.
He's trying to be the world's best devil's advocate.
Okay.
And now you're with me, I guess.
So, you know, and what's happened is that, you know, there are a few things that are worth recycling, but, you know, everyone just set these arbitrary goals. We're going to recycle 50% or 100%.
Right.
You know, the mayor of New York says zero waste, which is ridiculous.
Can't.
How could you do that?
It's impossible. You just spend a fortune, and I mean, you can't do it. And the ironic thing for those who like recycling is that the more stuff that you throw in there, the harder it gets to pick out the valuable stuff. And it just, and the whole thing becomes so expensive and uneconomic. You know, glass bottles are ridiculous because they're made out of sand, and we're not running out of sand. But and when you throw them in the recycling bin, they end up getting broken in the truck. And so at the recycling facility, they've got all these shards of glass they've got to get rid of. It would just be much better just to throw that stuff out.
John, when you recycle glass, what can they recycle it? What can they do with it?
They can do it. I mean, they can melt it down and turn it into new glass. But, you know, it's not as if we need it. There's plenty of sand. There's just need. So. And it's just so expensive to reprocess all this stuff. I mean, recycling is on the wrong side of two really long-term trends. One is that, you know, over the centuries, over thousands of years, really, the cost of raw materials has been going down. That's why we can buy so much stuff today.
True.
And the cost of human labor has been going up. You know, you have to pay people more and more. Our time is more valuable, and the stuff that we buy, these materials are getting cheaper. So you're basically paying more and more money to people to reprocess all this stuff that's getting cheaper and cheaper. So it just doesn't make economic sense.
See, here's the deal, though. There's a lot of money involved in this. You know, I visited a recycling plant somewhere down in the Naugatuck Valley, not too far from here. And these guys had invested millions of dollars in this magic machine. It's single stream. It all gets sorted out. And, you know, most of it you can't use, okay? And even if you're doing the cans, the fact is it takes a lot of energy to melt the cans to produce more aluminum, you know? So I don't know that it's energy efficient either.
Well, you know, people argue that, I mean, there used to be a market. I mean, there is a market a place like Walmart that gets these tons of cardboard boxes, you know, it is actually cheaper for them to just send it to recycling, you know, because they've got all the cardboard in one place, and you either have to pay to send it to a landfill. And I think, you know, in a lot of these cases, it's actually cheaper. And I think if you get a lot of aluminum cans in one place, at least when I wrote about this last, they said that it, you know, they're actually, you know, somebody would actually pay you for those cans because it actually takes less energy to recycle than it does to make new aluminum. But for most things, you know, these plastic bottles and these things, it's just so, it's so expensive to, you know, to collect it and to process it. And, I mean, it's really more of a, it's more of a sacrament than an economic activity.
And that's the point I want, John, that's the point, because that's the key point. Even saying what you're saying and what I have said, because I've always been a skeptic, not a skeptic, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. But, I mean, the point is, to a lot of people, this is almost a sacrament to go down to the grocery store every Saturday with your used plastic soda bottles and, you know, get your little receipt on your deposit back. And that's fine. You feel like you're doing something, but are you really?
Well, I mean, what you're doing is you're making yourself feel good.
That's
it. And it's a ritual of atonement. I mean, people feel guilty that they buy too much stuff. We all feel guilty that somehow we're wasteful, that you know, that we're rich enough to have all this stuff. And people feel, and I think, you know, someone said that a nice line is all of us like to think that we're not materialistic. We're spiritual. I don't need all this stuff.
Right.
You know? And so, and then we see the trash bin in our house. That's like the lipstick on the collar of our love affair with stuff.
You know? Wow.
And we feel guilty about it. And so recycling is, you know, it's an act of penance that I'm not really using this stuff.
I'm borrowing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, the weird thing to me is that, you know, people, this all started with this scare that, you know, that we'd run out of landfill space and we don't have room for this. And it's just, I mean, if you look at the stats, it's absurd. You know, all the garbage for the next 1,000 years, if you think of the United States as a football field, that, you know, all the garbage would fit in when I'm inside the 1 yard line, I think inside about the 10 inch line.
Yeah, there you go.
And the thing is that you just cover it up and turn it into a park. It's not a problem. You know, all this stuff came out of the ground. There's plenty of room to put it back in.
Darn right. And eventually, I suppose it'll fall apart.
Hey, one quick question, then we got to run. Do you think this thing's ever going to turn in the opposite direction, or are we going to become more and more of a recycling madhouse?
I would think that economic sense, you know, that these cities that have all the that are overburdened with pensions and everything like that are going to just say, look, we can't afford to keep doing this. But there is this really strong spiritual movement that, and, you know, the people that want to do it because they feel good and they want to make everyone else do it.
Right.
I mean, you know, my line is always, if it makes you feel good, do it on your own. Just don't make me do it.
Okay. Hey, John.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Really interesting talking to you.
Been a pleasure. A little contrarian. I like that.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. It's 8:58, and I'll be taking them. Well, I hate that, taking those bottles down, you know, the plastic bottles.
You don't take them. Pam takes them.
Well, even if you rinse them, okay?
Well, it's
still
it's
a
not,
mess.
Yeah, it's not.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.